So let's go back and let's look at Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to look at 3, the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, "But not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren privily brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus." You know, we have liberty. We have great liberty in the Lord because of grace. Because God's not judging us. Because of grace, we have this liberty. But there are people that want to bring you into bondage. They use legalism to do that. They use their authority or their position to do that. They love to have the preeminence. And they will quickly bring you under authority. And if you don't submit to them, they will judge you themselves, right? And they will do like Diotrephes did. They will throw you out, basically. Take authority over you and throw you out. Can you imagine that they threw the Lord Jesus out of his own vineyard and killed him? False brethren, privily brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know, if you, just as Judaism became a bondage and the Lord had delivered his people out of it, every denomination is the same way, folks. It is the nature of man to try to control things. And pretty soon they just control out the Holy Spirit and he moves over and starts again. They don't realize that what they've got there is an abomination. And he's not even in it anymore. And that's the way it's been throughout history. And verse 5, "To whom we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour." So they just didn't submit to it. They were fighting here. I'm not talking about fist fighting or physical fighting. They were fighting a war here. And they didn't submit to it. And there was a reason they didn't submit to it. You know, when Jesus was going to his cross and he was the only one involved, he turned the other cheek. He resisted not the evil and he was crucified. And every one of us, of course, have to do that too. But there's a time to fight. And he's talking about that right here. He said, "We gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Can you imagine if they would have given in to that? There wouldn't have been a seed to continue to go forth. And today, folks, there are people who are taking their own position in amongst the people of God. They have promoted themselves, and they're considering that they can judge other people, even others who have been ordained of the Lord, and they can't get away with it. God will judge them. In fact, if they'll look carefully around them, they will see that the judgment is there already. And if other people will look, they will see that the judgment is there already. Okay? And, you know, there were situations even between the apostles where there was judgment that went forth. None of these cases was there somebody who turned the other cheek and let this continue to ravage the church. You know, and there had to be a judgment. Verse 11. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face because he stood condemned." Yes, Peter was wrong. He was wrong. He needed correction. And sometimes we all might need some correction, you know. He was wrong, and God used Paul to correct him. And we don't see where he rebelled against that correction either. He said, "For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation." In other words, they were separating with these people like they weren't clean. You know, and but they were justified by faith. They weren't justified by works. And Peter should have known better, right? And the Lord wasn't letting him get away with it. So if God would judge a true apostle, somebody who's truly ordained of God, what will he do with somebody who has ordained themselves? when they're judging God's people. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, if thou, in other words, notice he did this in front of everybody. You know, there, in some cases, this has to be done. You know, some people say, well, I don't know, you shouldn't be doing things like that publicly. Well, if you go back to 3 John, just remember that God basically put this on his website. You know, what Diotrephes did has been with us for 2,000 years, right out in the open. He was openly rebuked. And here, Peter was too. Of course, Peter repented. That's fine. That's good. Anytime we're wrong, we can be honestly wrong, and we need a correction from God, and that's good. He'll give it to us. If we're humble enough, we'll take it. And if we're foolish, we won't. If thou, being a Jew, livest as do the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, don't judge them, because you're living by faith yourself. We being Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not you lining up with me, lining up with my thinking, lining up with my doctrine, submitting to me, that makes you right with Jesus Christ. It's faith in him, right? But many people think that. Well, if you don't agree with my doctrine, I know what I'll do. You know, you're a heretic. You're a wolf. We'll throw you out. Right? Even we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we can't be men pleasers. And we can't allow people to bring us under the law, even if it's their law. I'm not saying you don't submit to elders, but elders are not going to drag you under the law. They're going to show you the way. They're going to, first of all, be an example to you. And number two, they're going to show you the way to receive grace from God. It's not just raw demands or authority because they're bigger than you are. You know, it's... Or have more authority in the local physical authority. You know, the Jews, they had authority. Jesus admitted that authority. He didn't admit it was spiritual, but it was there. And he told his disciples to submit to it when they had to, you know. But their authority was carnal, and his authority was spiritual. In other words, he had authority with the king, and what he spoke happened. And so... The kind of authority that came through Jesus and through his disciples was a different kind of authority than came through the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When they spoke as people having authority. The others were just theologians, you know. They had these real cold, hard facts, you know, they wanted to share with you, you know. But these men who spoke with the authority of God, God acted upon those words because they were his words. See, and so when they laid hands on the sick, they proved that they had authority, you know. And when God did signs through them, they proved that they had authority. It was God doing it. It wasn't like they blamed Moses for doing, you know, for judging God's people, but it was God, right? And so we've got these two kinds of authorities down here now. We've got people who've taken a position and... it's just that. They've taken it, and their authority is totally carnal. And there's those that are given a position, but they're on the outside looking in some cases. You know? Jesus wants to come in and sup with you. He knocks on the door, you know? And if you open the door, he will come in and sup with you. Right? But in many cases, he's out in the street, just like he was back 2,000 years ago. Because they won't let him in. You know? And... that carnal authority taking that position away from the Lord. Now look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And that's still true today, isn't it? The denominational kind of thinking is that envy and strife, division, you know. Verse 16. the one do it of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. You know, Paul would defend the gospel. He wouldn't necessarily defend himself, but he would defend the gospel so that it would continue with them, he said, right? He had to make sure that he stood up for the gospel. He didn't care what it cost him. It cost him a lot. He was stoned. He was, you know, all these things that happened to him. Verse 17. But the others proclaim Christ of faction, not sincerely, thinking to raise up affliction for me in my bonds. They proclaim a Christ of faction. Faction, of course, is people who have a purpose to divide the body of Christ, because they're dividing everybody that agrees with them unto themselves. And in order to do that, they have to get you to judge other people. You know that that's the whole spirit behind denominationalism? You judge other people unworthy to be a part of your sect. You see? Because you don't believe this or you don't believe that. That's unscriptural. The only reason in the scriptures that they separated somebody from any sect was because of sin, immorality, not because of doctrine and thinking, you know. So basically, there are factions out there, and a denomination is a faction. It is somebody who causes division for a selfish purpose. You know, you're one of us. You know, Jesus, of course, did not divide his own body. He, in fact, prayed to the Father that his body would be one, even as he was one with the Father, John 17. So those who do divide, they usually cause you to judge everybody else so that they can set you apart unto them. They want to bring you into bondage, into another sect, into another cage. You know, the Christianity is full of cages, isn't it? Of bondage that people don't seem to be able to get out of. They've been brought into bondage by these people who cause them to judge other people unworthy. And Paul called it a work of the flesh. That's what he called denominationalism or sectarianism or strife or division or faction, a work of the flesh. And there are those who preach a Christ of faction. That's what they specialize in. And these people are not sent from God, because nobody that is an elder, a true elder in the Lord, is going to divide the body of Christ. Nobody. That spirit is from the devil. It is sensual, the Bible says, right? In fact, let me read that to you. I think James. Yes. James 3. 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? This is the elder here. Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. One thing faction does is it causes people to lie against the truth. And this word faction actually comes from a word aretheia, which is arethos, which means a hireling. You know, when there's somebody that is causing division in order to build their own little kingdom, their own congregation, that's a hireling. That's what factionalism is. It's seeking to separate followers through selfish ambition. And how do they do that? Well, they do that by judging everyone else, pointing their finger at all those people outside their little faction and saying, they're not ours because of this. They don't dot their I's right, cross their T's right. None of this is permissible. Romans 14 is very, very plain. You know, we have to be all permitted to grow up and mature in the Lord, you know, at our own rate, without someone judging us. That's what it's all about. But these factional people, they are going to build, and they can do it. They will do it. They can do it. They can build denominations. They can build their own assembly through this causing judgment to other people, or sending judgment to other people, or judging other people, or getting the people to judge other people. That's how these people figure that they won't be able to go anywhere else. If I put down on everyone else but me, they'll think I'm the only one, and they won't go anywhere else. That's where denominationalism and sectarianism comes from. You know? So these people are all going to be judged to the Lord. Do you know what a blasphemer is? Some people narrow that down only to blasphemy against God. You know, speaking the word just means to speak against or to rail against. You know, 1 Timothy. Here's an example. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Well, now, look closely. Do you think he's talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Nah, can't be. Because these people are being taught not to blaspheme. You know, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you don't have any forgiveness from God. You know? So, according to what Jesus said, right? So, he's talking about blasphemy, all right, but he's not talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He's talking about them blaspheming other people. Do you know that this is what denominations normally do? Sects, factional people normally do? They blaspheme other people? This word is most often not translated blaspheme. The word is blasphemo. And it's normally not translated blaspheme, although the sound of it would let you know that maybe it could be consistently done that way. Yeah. But a lot of times it's translated as other things, like railing, for instance. You've heard of railing, right, in scriptures? Railing. It's a speaking out against other people, judging other people, pointing your finger, you know, speaking wickedly against them, right? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. You see, that's what we're talking about a while ago. There are people that live under judgment, and they think it's the normal Christian life. Well, they're not Christian. That's the problem. You know, God wants to bless his people. He wants to deliver them from the curse. Jesus bore the curse for us. He doesn't want us living under it. And keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Aha! So it is the self-willed, right? In the lusts of defilement and despise dominion. They don't want to submit to anybody else. They won't submit to the authority that God sends. Now, God sent Jesus as an authority, and guess what? Those self-willed Pharisees, they wouldn't submit. And God sent Moses, and they wouldn't submit. And on and on and on. And wonder why Paul had to fight so much with the wild beasts. These people did not want to submit. They despised dominion. Daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities. What is a dignity? Well, that's somebody that God sends who actually has authority, right? Or glories. It's also the word glories, you know. You know, we grow into the sun glory, right? Star glory, moon glory, sun glory. And so those who are mature, they're not counted as mature. Those who are carnal have taken over the church, just like they did in Jesus' day. They've taken over the church. And the ones who are mature, they're cast out because the flesh is totally contrary to the spirit. Tremble not to rail at dignities. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. The word railing here, by the way, is that word, blasphemo. Railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. So many people are judging in areas that they're so ignorant because they have such a selfish ambition to rule. And they put themselves out there. And now they're in trouble. Railing in matters whereof they're ignorant shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the hire. There's the hireling. See? See, it all comes back around, doesn't it? The hire of wrongdoing. Men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime spots and blemishes. Jude spoke about that. He said they were twice dead and plucked up by the roots. See, God's going to have a spotless and blemishless church, but these guys are full of it, you know. They're spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Well, this word blasphemo is railing here. And if you go up to same chapter, but verse 2, it's spoken again. However, it's not translated that way. I'm going to start in verse 1 now. It says, but there arose false prophets also among the people. Is it true today? Yes. And you can't tell them just by looking at them. You have to know that they're not submitted to authority. They are self-willed. They are judging. They are factional. They are building their own kingdom, you know. As among you also there shall be false teachers. So sometimes they're not a prophet as such, but they are false teachers. Who shall privily bring in destructive heresies. You know what a heresy is or a heretic is? It might surprise you. You know, some people think, oh, it's gross false doctrine or something. You know, that's what many people think. But it really just means an opinionated person who, for the sake of advantage, causes division. An opinionated person who, for their own self-will and for their own advantage, because they're building their own kingdom, they cause division. It's kind of an offshoot from factionalism. They bring in destructive heresies. They're purposely trying to divide disciples unto themselves, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. How come we always see that there? You know, they never get away with this. And there's always somebody out there that may not have the physical strength to resist them, but they have the godly strength to resist them. They have the authority to resist them. And judgment will fall. Moses did speak judgment. And the earth opened up and swallowed them. And there are many people out there today. They are swallowed up by their own flesh. I mean, what does the earth represent? It represents your flesh. That's where your flesh came from, right? So if you're swallowed up by the earth, what does that mean, spiritually speaking? If it's a type and a shadow of the New Testament, it just means you're totally swallowed up by your flesh. You are overcome by your flesh. And verse 2, and many shall follow their lascivious doings. Lascivious means a license to excess. You know, basically they have doctrines, they have opinions that have given them a license to do whatever they want to do. Like I had one guy tell me, well, that don't apply to me. You try to say, well, this is what the word said. Well, that don't apply to me. Well, and you know, this is somebody who has a lascivious opinion. In other words, I'm not under the rules, you know. You're under the rules, right? So, lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, that's the word blasphemo. Evil spoken of. Do you know what? These people who are blasphemers will cause other people to blaspheme the truth. They will cause people to speak against the truth. These wicked leaders who do not represent Christ but represent themselves, think about it. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's been happening in this nation? One right after another. We just had a parade of them, you know, falling, you know, all over themselves, full of sin and so on and so forth. And what have they done? They've caused the whole nation to blaspheme God and the truth. These Christians are all like that, they think. It's sad, isn't it? And in covetousness shall they with feigned words. Have you ever recognized feigned words? They're putting on a show. They make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not. In other words, they're not going to get away with it. And their destruction slumbereth not. Oh, for the moment, you know, God is God's long-suffering. You know, when I want him to get in a hurry, he never pays any attention. And, you know, when he says soon, I say, yeah, I've learned that God's soons are not my soons, you know. But it's coming. He says so. The time will come when these people, if they haven't repented, judgment will fall. And they won't even know their way back. You know, if you're swallowed up by your flesh, you know, reprobate, twice dead and plucked up by the roots, you won't even know your way back to God. You think, I can repent anytime? No, you can't. No, you can't. God grants repentance. That's what the Bible says. That's a gift from God. He didn't grant it to those Pharisees. Read Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. He said, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and to them it's not given. God did not give them the gift to repent. He did not give them the gift to see. He did not give them the gift to hear. These people are going to get worse and worse. And the people around them who want to follow their flesh, they will be deceived by them. That's their purpose. They will be deceived by them. So, there are blasphemers that will be turned over to the devil. Does God always have to use his leadership to do that? No, he doesn't. And quite often you come upon a lot of people that are already turned over to the devil. You don't have to do it if they're already there. You know, they're living after the lust of their flesh. They're being judged. They're proud. They're arrogant. They're leading a bunch of proud and arrogant people who don't want to see. They want to live after the flesh. So, and they're causing other people to blaspheme the truth and even the true God of heaven, you know, by their blasphemy. Another word that's used, railing, we saw railing was used, but another word that's used is reviling in the scriptures. It basically means the same thing, you know, speaking against people wickedly, judging people wickedly, you know. Revilers, they're called. Now look at Luke chapter 22. Let's look at verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And they blindfolded him and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is he that struck thee? And many other things spake they against him, reviling him. There's that word again, blasphemio. Spake they against him, reviling him. And they were mocking. They were mocking him. Mm-hmm. They were mocking him. They were reviling him. And it's a pretty similar thing, actually, because other versions actually compare that. Javier?
Yes, I had a question of clarification as you were just on your last statement. You were talking about how some are turned over to the devil, that you don't have to do it. And it said something like, because they're already caught up in their flesh, they're turned over. So I was thinking about how in the scenario where Paul was being was absent from a judgment of a certain man who was committing a sin that was not even found in the world.
1 Corinthians 5:5.
And then he said that I've already spoken judgment and mm-hmm. That he should be turned over to the devil, that he may be you know, basically broken and brought back.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Paul speak that word if it seems like if it sounds like he's already turned over to the devil? Why would he tell them to turn them?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he was. Paul needed to do that because God was ordaining him to do that. I'm just saying that in some instances, you'll see Paul do what he did here in Timothy, 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. In other instances, when you come into the situation, the person's already been delivered over to it. So it all depends. That's up to God. It's not up to man. It's really nothing that man should do. It's something that God does do. God's actually told me to do this before, and it works very good when he tells you to do it. It doesn't work very good if he doesn't tell you to do it, because actually we're just here to serve him. We're just to be a vessel of his. But when you come into some situations, you're going to come into a situation after a person's already been delivered over to the devil sometimes. That's what I was pointing out. And, you know, Matthew 27 and 39 is another example. And they that passed by him railed on him, blasphemio on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that dost destroy the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross." And in like manner, also the chief priests mocking. Notice he compares mocking with railing quite often. Mocking him with the scribes and elders, and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusteth on God. Let him deliver him now, for if he desireth him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And so, you know, the point is, many people who are mockers or blasphemers are doing it because they're totally ignorant of what's really going on. And because that spirit is manifesting from them, you know it's an error. You know it's a lie. You know they're not discerning things correctly. You know, and that competitive spirit is in a lot of people. They desire to rule. They desire to have the preeminence. Anybody that is not humble to God and humble to other people, you can't trust them. Cannot trust them. They have taken a position that's not their own. And, of course, the word is sometimes translated just blasphemy, but it also speaks of blasphemy of men and of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, like Matthew 12 and verse 31. "Therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." So men do blaspheme, but blasphemy against the Spirit, so they do also blaspheme the Spirit, shall not be forgiven. So once in a while, they translated that same word as blasphemy. But when we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, we see that this is an offense for which God will turn people over to the devil. The reason I pointed out that sometimes you don't have to do that is because God's already done it in some instances. Yes, he may have an elder to do this. It'll be somebody that has the authority to judge. And if he does it, it's not the elder. It's the Lord. And it is a sin that is considered by the Lord punishable by turning somebody over to Satan, as in 1 Corinthians 5, for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. The reason God turns people over to the devil is because they have to come to the place where they will forgive, they won't judge, they won't presume to take authority, they won't build their own kingdom. It will be too terrible for them. And so God has to turn the heat up on them to try to bring them to repentance. And turning you over to the tormentors is one way to do that. And that's what Paul was doing in both of these instances, is turning people over to the devil so that they would count the high cost of their low life, you know, and repent, hopefully. And also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see another usage of this in verse 13. "Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, even until now. Well, you know, holy men of God were greatly abused in Jesus' day, and of course they are in our day. And being defamed here is the same word, blasphemio. In other words, Paul was being blasphemed. He was being spoken against. It's the same word you could translate the same way legally. But they try to bend to your understanding somewhat. And in so doing, they've made a mistake of people seeing blasphemy as something that you speak only against God. But here it's this defaming of Paul is blasphemy. Now, I've been defamed. I have people judging me. Not righteously, because I try to always stick with the scriptures, but I have people judging me, blaspheming me, speaking against me, taking my words out of context, claiming that I'm a wolf, and such things as that. That's blasphemy. No, it's not blasphemy against God, it's blasphemy against God in me. And Jesus said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Being defamed. Paul was defamed. And in every age, anybody that walks holy in the church is going to be defamed by it. The church is in rebellion. It's been in rebellion from the beginning. And the history of the Old Testament church is a type and a shadow for us to understand that. It's a type and a shadow, so we know what's going to happen in our day. It's a prophecy. What happened among the Jews, what happened to Jesus among the Jews is going to happen to his true body today among the apostate church. So, let's go back to Jude and read a couple of verses there. Let's start in verse 16. And, by the way, in this text, he spoke about Korah. He spoke about Balaam, Cain, called them hirelings, gainsayers. He spoke about them being twice dead and plucked up by the roots in verse 12. These are people that represent leaders in our day who are dead while they're in the pulpit. They're dead while they got that big smile on their face and they are putting on a really good show but they're totally self-willed, doing their own thing. They have no authority from God whatsoever. Can that happen? Well, it happened in Jesus' day. Can you imagine that the whole leadership of Judaism was in that shape in Jesus' day? And you say, it doesn't seem possible. Well, think about Moses. The whole congregation followed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. That's what it says. Go back and read it. You think it couldn't be possible today? It is possible, and it's happened. It's the very nature of sectarian denominationalism and men who want to climb to the top. You know, they want to be an authority. They want to rule over other people. It's a natural but not a spiritual nature in man. And in verse 16, it says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect of persons for the sake of advantage. This is where heresy comes from, factionalism comes from. For the sake of advantage, they show favor to the people. But they judge everyone else and blaspheme everyone else, so that the people can't go anywhere else. You know, people don't know where else they can go. All these other people are bad. They didn't dot their I's right and cross their T's right. They're all bad. So therefore, where else can I go? I have to sit here in bondage in this sheepfold with this wolf. That's the nature of it, folks. That's what's been happening. Verse 17. But ye beloved, remember ye the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they said to you, in the last time there shall be mockers. There's that word mocking again. It always seems to be connected with blasphemy. There shall be mockers walking after their own ungodly lusts. What is it to walk after your own lust? The word lust is commonly taken to mean a negative thing, but actually the word just means desires. It just means desires. If you're doing your own thing, that's what he's talking about. And does it have to be inherently evil, the thing that you do? No. Well, from most people's point of view, it probably wouldn't be something that they view as evil. The people of God in Jesus' time, they didn't see their elders as evil. When Jesus came along, only the elect at that time saw them as evil. So they're going after their own ungodly desires. In verse 19, these are they who make separations. That is the nature of heresy. That is the nature of factionalism. That's the nature of a critical spirit. That's the nature of blasphemy, is to make separations. That's what they want to do. These are they who make separations, sensual. I think that word is also solical, if I'm not mistaken. Sensual. No, in this case, it's natural or animal. Okay, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. The most sectarian, denominational, factional people are not filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, they might speak in tongues and they might talk a good talk, but they're not filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God won't do these things. The Spirit of God is out to fulfill the prayer of Jesus. I pray that they may be one as we are one. Factionalism divides the body of Christ. It's an evil spirit. It's sensual. And as we saw before, it's demoniacal. James chapter 3, right? It's devilish. This wisdom doesn't come down from above. It's devilish. I'm going to read that to you again. James 3 and 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, there it is, and devilish. The word devilish is demoniacal. In other words, it's from demons. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. And some people cannot recognize that spirit of factionalism, that spirit of jealousy that causes a person to go out and judge everybody else, so that you can go nowhere else but to them. They're the only holy ones out there, right? This is a demon. That's what the Bible says. These are demons that are causing this, right? They make separations. That's their plan, to make separations. They want to make a sect or a division or a strife. You know, Paul called it in Galatians, right? As a matter of fact, let's just go there. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. It says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife. There's always strife around these people because they have such selfish ambition, they can't be at peace with other people that are not just like them. First of all, people that are not just like them convict them. You know, the Pharisees were convicted being around Jesus and being around his disciples. They didn't like the feeling of conviction. It's easier to put Jesus and his disciples to death than to live with that conviction, that fire that burned among them, you know. Strife, jealousies, lots of jealousy. That's what divides up the church, jealousy. Wraths, factions. There's that word again. Factions, causing division for selfish ambition, right? Divisions. Parties. Parties here is the word heresies, heretikos, heresies. And heresies is a self-willed opinion leading to dividing into sects or denominations or whatever, you know, your own little group, parties, right? And, of course, factionalism is very, very similar. It's separating followers through selfish ambition, as we just read in James 3 and 14. So, you know, if you are attacked by these people, the Bible tells you in Luke chapter 6, look at that, that you're blessed. Can you imagine that you're blessed? If you are attacked by these wicked people, Luke 6, 22, he said, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their own company and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Yep, in other words, exactly what you see happening in the scriptures is what's happening today. And if these people are blaspheming you, and they're railing against you in order to build their kingdom, just know that their reward is waiting for them, and that you can rejoice, because if they're against you, that means you're for God. If you're hated, Jesus said, don't worry, they hated me first. That's what he said. So if they hate you, that's good. You're blessed. Just rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? You know, recently, I'm going to share an email I received here in just a minute here. Yeah, here it is right here. In just a minute, let me get this out here. You know, I received this email here recently. And there was a certain fella, I don't need to name him, who had gathered some stuff he drug up off the internet, mostly from non-full gospel people. Matter of fact, it was all from non-full gospel people. And in particular, there was one guy who had written a criticism of me, so he drug that up and stuck it on his website. And the interesting thing was, is this guy prides himself on being an apostasy watcher. And yet, he grabs this guy that don't even know the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit is not full gospel, and he uses him as an expert. We've got another expert on there that is that's from the Baptist Church, who has judged me on the Trinity, which I don't believe the Catholic Trinity. I don't believe the co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all right, but I don't believe in that. So another one of those dot your I's, cross your T. But the real thing is blasphemy. The real thing is defaming. The real thing is railing in order to put down on everybody else so that people will leave you and go to them. That's the whole thing. Well, this letter I got from a sister, I'm not going to give you her name, but I'll read it to you. She knows one of the guys that he picked up and stuck on his site. He's just like him. It says, dear elders, there's an article used to attack David written by Bob such and such. And it was, of course, on this man's site that's attacking us, you know. The leader of a church I used to attend in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They have some good truth about fleeing from the new age in the church, but are very, very hindered by the letter and rejecting the gifts of and ministry of the Holy Spirit as being for today. Can you imagine? Now, this is the authority that the man picked up, basically because he was against me and wanted to disprove me. Didn't have anything to do with the righteous love for truth. Or he would never pick somebody like this as an authority. You know, people who aren't filled with the Holy Spirit don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They're against all of the people that are Spirit-filled and believing in the gifts. This guy's getting farther and farther away from the full gospel because he has to disprove me. So she goes on to say, I used to feel a strong feeling of coldness and heaviness there. I could give very specific examples of this spirit. In a very small church I attended, while very, very obviously pregnant, while we came in a few weeks later with our newborn daughter, literally no one came up to us or said anything. It was really shocking because our family stands out, and no one said, "Oh, you had the baby." Usually believers are very joyful about new babies. So she was shocked at this. She goes on to say, there is a very strong bondage of judging others, even in times of fellowship. So instead of learning to walk in Christ and abide in Him and share this with others, the focus is on pointing out who is wrong and who has the false gospel. Yeah. So that's that same blasphemy, factionalism, you know, in this particular church. And, of course, birds of a feather flock together, right? I once went to a woman's fellowship where the whole discussion was who was in error. Other ministries and other Christians, of course. And nothing about the Lord's work in us, in our life, in Him. Sadly, this religious spirit comes with such pride, self-righteousness, and unrighteous judgment that keeps the Holy Spirit outside of that fellowship, that even the lost perceive it. It's true. People are blaspheming Christianity because of what they see in self-righteous Christians. People that don't understand grace. You know, people that are judging and unforgiving and bitter and pointing their finger at their brother all the time. I did meet one brother there who was filled with the joy and love of the Lord. He shone as a light in a dark place. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to point this out to the man we're talking about, who has the website, as a young sister, so I pass this on to you elders, so on and so forth. You know, it's a sad thing, folks. This is going on in the church. This is keeping the church divided, you know.